Welcome, friends. It's Sylvia, and today's Spark episode is all about dominant themes and dominant strengths. Where did this question come from, might you inquire? Well, honestly, as I got into the strengths work, I researched, like, a lot. And from this, I really wanted to know if some strengths were more prevalent than others. And as I started building team grids for other groups across the organization, I couldn't shake this question because I saw similar patterns too. Some themes and some colors were just more present than others. So I started to ask myself, well, why? Let's talk about those findings and unpack dominant themes and dominant strengths together in this episode. Let's give you the preliminary information that you would need to know to consider today's topic. First, Clifton Strengths has four domains: influencing, relationship building, executing, and strategic thinking. And collectively, there are a total of 34 strengths themes, with 8 to 9 of those themes in each domain, depending on that specific domain. By and large, most team grids or Clifton results don't show that the results from the participants are going to be split evenly. So it's hardly ever going to happen that you will be on a team or that you will have a result personally where you essentially have 25% blue, 25% orange, 25% purple, 25% green. If you think about it though, across industries, across cultural values, across societal norms, and across your own values and belief systems, some themes are just going to show up a little bit more than others, and that's totally, perfectly natural. So let's just put this in the big picture because I love doing that. So generally, if you put everyone who took the Clifton Strengths Assessment across the globe in one bucket, so that's around 35 million people, you would see that 31% of the time, you'll see relationship building in the top 5, followed by 28% of the time executing, 26% strategic thinking, and 15% in influencing. So, why is it that relationship building is twice as likely to show up than influencing? Well, personally, it's rooted in societal norms and expectations. And you probably heard me talk about this in other episodes of The Spark, or if you sat through the Clifton Strengths training, we do delve sometimes into that influencing and how it shows up less often. So oftentimes, it's encouraged and necessary to prioritize great people skills and building rapport with others. And that's kind of the expectation at work and at home. And often, when you think about it at work, it's a team that achieves together and not an individual doing all of it. So the blue is just naturally more occurring for those reasons. And it's also rooted in those human patterns. So people on a psychological level really need some sort of connection. And so that innate desire to build bonds is really present. So that's probably why we see that relationship building rise to the top as more prevalent. On the other side, so we're going back to influencing. Influencing themes are great advocates and speakers, and often they're the first ones that want to try something new. They're often advocates for something that they see and feel passionate about. And if that something goes against the natural flow or pattern, that sometimes can cause waves on a bigger standpoint, which roots that discomfort in a lot of people. So most of the time, influencing themes, they don't necessarily have to be rooted in change or go against the status quo, but the assumption about this domain, it often is painted in that light. And though both strengths have their place as needed, the orange and the influence just isn't relied on as heavily in the routine of our day-to-day at work or at home, and those blues and the values that come along with that are just a little bit more embedded in our culture and in our society. Now, let's get to another interesting layer of this. If you took those 35 million people that have taken Clifton Strengths, let's talk about the five themes that come up most. So globally, of the 34 themes that come up, the five that rise to the top are achiever, learner, responsibility, relator, and strategic, in that order. Now, if you don't know about these strengths themes, achiever is executing in purple, learner is strategic in green, responsibility is executing in purple, relator is relationship building in blue, and strategic is in the green category. What's interesting about these strengths themes are what they actually mean. So by and large, achievers work really hard and they set the pace for the productivity of a team. Learners will take information that interests them and are constantly always willing to consider new opportunities to learn and grow. Responsibility are people that are led with high credibility and they follow through with what they say they're going to do. They're loyal, they're honest, and they're committed. Our relators, they're always looking for those small, close-knit connections. They love to work hard, and they love to work with those that are closest to them. And then our strategic group, those people, are always looking for new paths. So those are the people who they see a pattern or an issue, and they quickly find a way to work around those setbacks. So if you think about humans and work culture in general, these themes generally make a whole lot of sense. People often find joy in getting things done, doing them with high integrity, and exploring new interests along the way. They value friendships or family members, and when presented with challenges, they see other paths. So even though I do see how there is a connection between the human experience and the top five, I definitely think that that's not a strong enough case to suggest that that is true of all humans. So with that, I started to think further and think deeper about this question. So when I saw this information, it was interesting because here at Valleywide, there's a lot of executing and relationship building. And that shows to me how dedicated people are to the work that we're doing and the importance of connection for those that we serve. And so, yeah, this was my very first example of when I looked at a group of people, we couldn't just talk about it being the human experience anymore because this is so rooted in potentially the type of work that we do. And so the bigger scope that I was trying to look at just wasn't fitting the narrative and it wasn't explaining what I really wanted answers for. So in summation, I really feel like in terms of where we are as an organization with strengths, we're exactly where we need to be. We have a lot of relationship builders. We have a lot of people that lead with the executing strength and love to get things done and strive to get things done. And both of those things work together to serve others and do what we do as a community health center. If you haven't noticed by now, this podcast episode is really just following the ebb and flow of where this question went in my mind. So the next step I really wanted to take was going back to the strengths, what showed up more frequently and what showed up less frequently. Okay, well, what would happen if we ask what the five least common strength themes are globally? So rounding out that list, that's command, self-assurance, significance, discipline, and context. Command is influencing in orange and has an undeniable presence and ease in taking control and making decisions. Our self-assurance group is also influencing, and those people generally are confident, they're at ease taking risks, and they manage their decisions without losing that internal faith that they have in themselves. Significance, again, also influencing. Boy, are we seeing a lot of that. And significance are people that are wanting to be the change. They want to make changes and they desire, with whatever they touch, whatever they do, to leave a huge impact on people and the projects that mean the most to them. Our discipline group is executing and they strive to create order. And I like to also equate this word to grit, because when pushed and pulled in different directions, the discipline strength and its reliable structure keeps things moving forward. And then that last one, rounding out the least common strengths, is context. Context is a strategic thinking green theme, and it is rooted in past orientation. So this theme will use the ability to look at what has already been observed and occurred, and they use that information to explain what's going on presently. With all of this information, I started to ask myself, was this a human nature thing, or is this potentially cultural, where maybe you'd find different prominent strengths themes in the US compared to, let's say, India? So I thought at the time that maybe I was really onto something, that maybe there was some sort of cultural line to all of this. And honestly, I was left a little bit surprised. So as I expected, there are some variants between strengths across countries, but it's honestly less dramatic than I thought. So let's take India, for example. In India, they actually have the same top five, but in a slightly different sequence. So the responsibility one is their number one. What about in other countries, though? In Mexico, Argentina, and Portugal, we have a similar situation as well, where the sequence was changed slightly, with the learner being number one. And then, just to make things interesting, we did have a few standout countries. So Japan, they had maximizer and harmony in their top five, and that altered the sequence of what we see globally. If your burning question is to know about the United States, we match the global sequence of Clifton Strengths exactly. And so there was no variance in between that and looking across the other countries. When I started thinking back to the bigger picture and comparing the information that I had just gathered, it was very clear to me that there are some strength themes that maybe are just more naturally occurring because they're so deeply ingrained in the human experience. So even though I had theories about the human experience and that contributing to some of the strengths we were seeing, it still is really, at this point, a hypothesis. I can't prove it. I can't necessarily say that that is what we're seeing in strengths. And so I have to keep looking, because just leaving it at that wasn't a solid enough answer. With this country data, it also suggests one more thing that I wanted to entertain. Maybe to some extent, it's not dramatic by any means, that the culture that you are raised in or you're a part of can potentially influence your results just a little bit. But the biggest takeaway from this that I saw was that strengths proves that we have a lot of common ground and shared perspectives as humans. And of course, highlighting those similarities is always going to be a valuable thing to remember when you collaborate with others. I did want to add one other thought, though. I thought, okay, if culture doesn't necessarily influence your results, if being human and seeing human patterns doesn't define your results, this leaves the results variable to the individual. So really, the person taking the assessment guides what we see in terms of the results that we get back, which is really cool, right? It starts to build the case that strengths work is highly individualized. And so I thought, okay, maybe the question shouldn't be what's most common or least common, and instead, what does this theme mean for you? So I started to have to ask myself this question. Why am I asking myself what's more common and less common? Because it's going to look so drastically different based on the person. So I think the question really should shift then. How does this theme show up for you? How is it influenced by your other strengths? And to what degree do you feel it aligns with who you are on a deeper level? So I'm taking that mindset and these questions to my future sessions. And it's something that I want you to think about too as you get your results back. I can't just leave this podcast episode ending here, because it would be dishonest to say that I didn't still question this idea and the domains and the strengths further. So let's go down one more rabbit hole together and see if I find anything else there. I wondered, okay, if I dug deeper into strengths based on family traits or more specifically even DNA, since clearly the bigger, broader understanding didn't get me the answers I was really looking for, would there be something there? So thankfully, other people were also thinking the same thing, and there actually has been some studies and work done around this. So if hypothetically, maybe twins took the assessment separately, would they see similarities? Because their home environment was controlled, right, and very similar. The values they were surrounded by and raised by were similar. And they shared DNA. So this seemed like a perfect example to start to ask that question, if family traits or DNA impact strengths assessments. And so what did they find? Well, Gallup in their research and some other groups that have looked into it have found that even in the case of twins, they likely won't have the same top five strengths. In fact, the odds are exactly the same that you would end up with the same exact results as someone else, whether you were a twin or not. If you don't know, the statistics of having a same exact top five in the exact same order with someone is 1 in 33 million. The chances that you're going to match with someone, or what we like to call a strengths twin, and have the same top five, but not necessarily the same order, is 1 in 278,000. So in case of twins, this is not going to drastically change those statistics. In the rare case that you did have a set of twins that were, in fact, strengths twins, they had the same top five, but a different order, or even in that really crazy, unlikely situation, 1 in 33 million that they shared the same top five, their experiences and their ideas and their values are going to change because they are different people. So then the strength themes in themselves don't mean the exact same thing across twins, because even if they had the same themes, they're going to think about those themes and how they work together in their mind differently. Even then, in the case of twins, you are not going to find the exact replica of strengths. You're not going to find the answer I was really hoping to find, which was that there was some sort of familial reason or DNA that influenced your strengths results. So, as I wrap up this episode, in the most bittersweet way, I'm having to face that there isn't a clear way to dissect strengths on a bigger scale. It comes down to each person and their experiences and their thoughts. And though I really wanted to find something that clearly pointed me toward a bigger pattern, I'm a little relieved, honestly, because that means strengths work aligns in the most beautiful way, fully, perfectly personal. So thank you so much for joining in on this think session, I would call it. So stay tuned for other episodes. We have a lot of interviews and content to still unpack, and we're so happy that we continue to strive forward and do this work here at Valleywide. Thank you so much.